Good morning. I love that video for so many reasons, but mainly because it does give us an update from the field where our money that we've raised as a Team World Vision team has gone. So if you are part of the Team World Vision team and have been over the last 3 years, that's your story. Because of our church and churches like ours, we have been able to make huge strides in Congo to bring clean water and sanitation to the families there. It talked about two deep water wells being drilled, as well as many springs being capped, and thousands of people are being impacted because of efforts like ours. And that's something to celebrate. It's awesome, and so that's what we're doing today. It's Celebration Sunday, Mission Sunday, celebrating the work of our church in the Democratic Republic of Congo in partnership with World Vision, our denomination, and Team World Vision. And then Covenant Kids Congo, which is those videos specifically. Our denomination is a little bit unique when it comes to sponsoring a child through World Vision. We specifically sponsor kids in the Ledia Area Development Project in Congo, in Gemena, Congo. And so the majority of the kids sponsored through our church live in that specific area, and the monies from Team World Vision go to that specific area. We sponsor clinics in that specific area as well. And so we're really focusing our efforts in order to see a greater impact in that region. And so it's awesome. The official title for a day like today is Hope Sunday. Covenant Kids Congo calls these types of mission Sundays Hope Sunday. Hope because through this partnership, there's hope for a future, and that is actually a reality. It's not just a dream. I loved watching the video of the kids earlier, and I told Lisa while we were in the office this week, I told her, wouldn't it be awesome if we could have had a video of our kids doing the same, answering the same exact question? Like, what do you hope for your future? And honestly, they probably would have said a lot of the same things. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a nurse. There might have been a few. I want to be a baseball player. I want to be Russell Wilson. But there's, you know, the sense that there is hope is a reality for these families in Congo. So it's pretty awesome. I'm going to toss these over here. So the video that we just saw talked about the specific strides that we've made as a church. And if you open up your bulletin, there's an insert that looks like this. And the hope that for this was to give you a little bit of an idea of some of the markers that have been reached in Congo because of our work there. So this is 2018, the report that came out about, I think it was in August of 2018. So there still was a few months left that aren't included in this. But over 200,000 children have received immunizations because of our work. 1,195 orphans and vulnerable children have received healthcare services. I love that 780 desks have been procured for the classrooms. I mean, I think that that's, you know, a tangible number. Over almost 14,000 women have gained the importance of good nutrition. They've learned about what that means. Think about, that's 14,000 households that are impacted through that training. When it comes to water specifically, in 2018, 800 households gained access to hand washing stations, and they're called tippy taps, I think is the proper term, but it's just a way to make it so that you can wash your hands, and sanitation is, we take advantage of that here. Yeah, we take advantage of the fact that we have clean water and taps, but sanitation in and of itself with toilets and all of that is a big deal in the developing world. And so it's great that we're able to do that as well. So 4,800 households or people gained access to household sanitation. A couple others for you economic folks in our midst. 200 people were trained as part of a savings group project, so the idea of teaching people to save and invest in their own community. 536 households were trained in income-generating activities. Again, like how can they help provide an income for their family? So these are sustainable ways that this entire community is being transformed through the work of Covenant Kids Congo and World Vision in that area. God is on the move, and I love it. It's so encouraging. If you notice at the very end of that video, the dad, this last video, the dad was talking, and he said that it had been 6 months since his family had to go and get medicine for diarrhea. 6 months, they haven't had to do that. That's amazing, you guys. That's amazing. That's just a very small but huge marker of the impact that this is making. So it's pretty awesome. We try to give you guys a little bit of a picture of some of the work that we do and the number of people that are involved in this ministry. It's beyond this. These are just the runners and the walkers, but the spectathletes, that's the rest of you, are a huge part of our work as well. We had over 65 people participate in the half marathon or full marathon in Seattle. We had 100 people participate in the 6K. We had a small, crazy group of us that traveled to Chicago to run the marathon. Megan Birch traveled to see the work of World Vision in the field. It was a big year for World Vision at our church, and an awesome year, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do this year as well. So today, we're launching our 2019 team. That's part of today. I actually love that Mike said, you know, we are actually wearing our team jerseys today. You know, poor Seahawks, but you know, we get to wear our team jerseys and support in that way, which is kind of fun. And so I'm going to be giving a brief message from the Word today, and then I'm going to be inviting up some people from our team to give testimony and share their why and why they do this crazy thing for clean water. And then you all are going to have a chance to respond as well. On your chairs this morning, there's a form that says, yes, I want to be on the team. And our hope is that everybody will fill one of those out, and you'll get an email from us this week, probably tomorrow, just letting you know what that means. And then you can actually say, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this. You know, this is the introductory, get on the team, get on the list so that you can find out more about what it means to partner in this way. All right, before we dive into the Word, I'm going to pray over this time. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here, for the opportunity that we have to celebrate the work that's happening in Congo, God. It's so exciting to think about the work that you are doing there and how awesome is it that we get to partner with you. God, I pray that you will inspire us this morning, that we will hear your word and we will want to do something about it. Whatever that something is, Lord, it's unique to each of us. And so I pray that you'll help us to find that, Father. Be in my words. I pray that you will help us each to hear something this morning that will push us towards your heart in a new way. God, we're so thankful. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, we finished up a sermon series called A Holy People. And Pastor Dan and then Drew Williams walked us through this idea that we are a generous, joyful, and just people. Drew last week shared specifically about just what that means. He shared and preached from Micah 6:8 that we are to do justice, to love mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And he talked about how justice is close to the heart of God, that we are called to take part in reforming brokenness into rightness. And that there really is an ideal rightness. And that ideal rightness has happened once before in Genesis. We read about it right after creation, and we're going to see it again. There's a promise that we will have a perfect relationship with God and one another in the future. And that God has this long-term plan to fix this, to fix the brokenness of our world. But that he's also inviting all of us into that. Justice is a thing that we're supposed to do, but loving mercy and walking humbly with God is how we get to justice. And this partnership with God will bring us closer to God's heart. That mercy will lead us towards justice. And it's not just something that we go out and do. It's something that God leads us into, right? God leads us into it because we are close to the heart of God. And so today we're going to dive into that a little bit more, but we're going to be looking at Isaiah 58. And this is at a time The prophet Isaiah is writing at a time where Assyria had become kind of the dominant military and political power of the region, and that the threat of being crushed was quite real. All right, it was quite real. So the people of Israel, they increased their acts of religious piety. They fasted, they prayed, but they were failing to address the underlying issues such as the exploitation of the poor and conflict that they had among them. So God is calling on his prophet Isaiah to warn the nation of Israel of their rebellion and that the consequences of their faith that has no meaning, their faith that really is just kind of going through the motions and has no transformation, that there will be consequences. God is not pleased. And although they are fasting and they're kind of checking that box, that religious duty, they were far from God and their relationships with others were damaged. So we are going to sit in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read for us verses 5 through 12. If you have your Bibles, please open them. If you have your phone or your tablet, you can go ahead and read there as well. All right, it says, verse 5, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide shelter, the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like a noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." Amen. 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 Just like today, God was in the process of developing a holy people who were generous, who were joyful, and who were just. And the people of Israel were called to take part in reforming the brokenness into rightness. But they weren't doing it. Fasting was a regular part of life for the people of Israel. And in addition to the Day of Atonement, after the fall of Jerusalem, fasting became more of a daily or more regular fasting took place. But fasting just to fast is not the point. Fasting or abstaining from food specifically for the people of Israel, people fast from things of all different kinds these days, but fasting, abstaining from food is a time to reflect on what's on God's heart. It's a form of worship. Fasting is a form of worship, but worship without a heart for justice, mercy, and compassion falls short. Worship is everything that we bring to God. Oftentimes, you know, we use it in place of the word singing. Worship was super awesome this morning, or I connect to God through worship, through music. But to define worship, it's the expression or feeling of reverence and adoration to God. Amen. And the word, the origin of the word is actually worth-ship. So the idea of acknowledging worth. It can be defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. True worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. Worship without a heart of justice, mercy, and compassion falls short because those things are at the heart of God. What good is fasting if it's not true worship? That's what Isaiah is saying here. What good is fasting if it's not true worship? God desires us to reform brokenness into rightness. We see that in verse 6 and 7. And then in verse 8, we see a promise. It says, the Lord promises to restore. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. The Lord promises to restore fellowship and blessing to those who abandon hypocrisy and follow him fully. The nation of Israel was to treat one another like family, to care for one another as they would care for their brother or their sister. And that's no different from our church today. As a church, God calls us to care for all, to care for one another and open our arms and care for our friends and our family, both near and far. And when we do that, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When we are not just checking off our list of religious duties, when we're truly caring for the hurt and the broken, when we let our heart break for the things that break the heart of God, we're propelled forward toward God in mission, his mission. And that mission is to reform the brokenness into rightness. The promise of Isaiah for the people of Israel is one of restoration. When the people of God are generous, joyful, and just, when we draw near to the heart of God and his heart for justice, mercy, and kindness, then we feel his joy. We see that later, which we didn't read it, but I'm going to read it for you now. Verse 14, it says, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. You will find your joy in the Lord. We live in a broken world. In every direction, there are breaches that are wide and deep. There's brokenness all around us. And only God can heal those things. But he's chosen us to come alongside him and partner with him, to be the repairer of broken walls, to repair the breaches. That's an awesome promise because he promises to do it with us. He leads us in the practice of justice, mercy, kindness, and humility. And when we follow him, we are closer to the heart of God. He moves us because he is on the move. God is on the move. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, I think I'll come up on the screen for you there. It says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Isaiah 58 is also a promise of light, just like this passage. Your light will break forth and the Lord will be on your guard. Verse 10 says, your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like midday. Our God and his people, all of us, are light. And through him, with him, we can reach into the darkest places of the world. And that's really what missions is all about. Mission Sunday, today, is really about shining the light of Christ into the darkness. Isaiah 58 is a word of judgment, but it's followed by that promise. Don't fast for the purpose of fasting. Allow God to lead you into the practice of justice, mercy, kindness, and humility. So where is God's heart in the world today? Where is he calling you in this way? God wants his people in his work. He wants you to be involved. And those who begin to join forces with God and work alongside him in the world will find that their light is breaking forth like the dawn. Our righteousness will go before us and the glory of the Lord will be behind us. February marks a new month for our kids program. Every month there's a new life app and a life application. The idea that we can take what we learn on Sunday mornings into our weeks, okay? And the life app for February is service. And we use the key verse to send our kids back to class today. But the big takeaway for our kids in the back today is serve others because of what Jesus did for us. serve others because of what Jesus did for us. That's what they're learning back there right now. Isn't that great? It's so great. Serve others because of what Jesus did for us. And when we talk about being close to the heart of God, we're doing mission. When we talk about sponsoring a child in Congo or moving our feet by running a half marathon or cheering for people on the sidelines, we're doing this because we want to shine the light of Christ into the dark places of the world. We serve because Jesus served us. We serve because Jesus died so that each of us could experience the light. But what is the light? What is the light? It's the joy of Christ. It's the joy that we have in him. It's salvation and it's life. It's life. It's not a secret that I am passionate about the work happening in Congo. I don't hide that very well. It's also not a secret that I'm passionate about the work that World Vision and Team World Vision do. But that's not where my heart of passion is. The heart of my passion, it starts with God. I serve because Christ served me. I love because Jesus loves me. We are the light because he is our light. My prayer for us today is that as we hear from folks just like us, who said yes to participating in this work in Congo, that you'll be inspired to say yes, even if it is a little more passive, sure, that you'll be willing to check it out and see where God wants you in this story, where God wants you in this narrative. Because he is on the move, you guys. He's on the move, and we are on the move as a church as well. There's some really great things happening here. So at this time, I'm going to invite up four friends to join me up here. Come on up. You know who you are. Here we go. No specific order. We can jump around. It's okay. All right. So when we were planning today, one of the things that we wanted to do was that we wanted to be more than just Lindsay up here or whoever it was going to give the sermon, get it up here to talk about the work that is happening. And so I invited these brave folks to join me on stage to talk a little bit more about their why they are involved, why they've said yes. And they all kind of have different stories, for sure. But they also have kind of different entry points. I mean, some have been doing it for a longer time, others haven't. But when you say yes to being part of Team World Vision, you are committing to walking or running a half marathon in June. And then you can also do the marathon if you really want to in June. And you're really just being a storyteller. You're telling the story of why to anybody who will listen. You're wearing your jersey every chance you get, so that people are like, what is with the jersey? And so you can tell your story. That's the whole point of it. So thank you guys for being up here. And we're going to start. Who do I want to start with? I'm going to have Rod start. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why you do what you do when it comes to World Vision? And also, I picked pictures. You can't really see them that good. They don't know which pictures I picked because they didn't all send me pictures, so I picked some for them. All right.
So my name is Rod Ehrlich, and I'm sorry I'm on the tail end of a cold, so I'm a little groggy, but this will be, we'll be training again. My wife Julie and I, this will be our fourth half marathon. And the why is kind of following your sermon. You know, about 4 years ago, I got this information about these children, and the news that I got just wasn't that they had diarrhea. It was that 5,000 children were dying every year because of a lack of water. And I'm kind of a water snob. I don't drink coffee. Actually, I know it's a shock, but I drink a lot of water, and it was kind of one of those things that, you know, that just kind of comes and hits you right between the eyes, and it said, and it was like, these poor kids and people can't just go flick on the water and fill up their glass of water. And to me, that really struck a chord. And it was like, that's an injustice, right? That's a darkness that I think I want to do whatever I can to try to help that.
And it had to be that kind of a miraculous God-sending revelation for me, because I think one of the things, I think I was probably picked to be on this panel because if you guys see me and you go, well, gosh, he can do it, I can do it, right? I was 49 years old. I'd never ran more than a mile. And I was like, a half marathon? That's ridiculous. No way. I mean, no way I would want to do that. But for me, it was looking at this going, wait a minute, I got to look outside myself, right? I got to do something. And so I want to look outside myself, and I want to push myself, and I want to try. And I'm telling you guys, it was brutal. I mean, running that first mile after not running all your life, really, was hard. I couldn't do a whole mile. And so now Julie and I have got this really fun pastime. We like to go trail running. So we got a lot more out of it, you know, in addition to the helping the people. But that by far is the driving force, just wanting to make a part. Because one of the things that World Vision has is a goal that I think by 2027 or something like that, that they're going to eradicate, that everybody will have water in the world. And I mean, what an amazing goal to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Thanks. Thank you. Okay, so this young gentleman here is one of our youngest participants, but is also like the most joy-filled that you'll ever run into. You want to see him multiple times on the course. Like, you are praying that he has lots of bathroom breaks or that he, you know, takes a break so that you can see him more than once, because he is so energetic and so full of life that it's contagious, and it makes you want to be like him when you grow up. So, introduce yourself.
I'm Gabe Schmidt, and Lindsay said to keep it to 4 minutes, so I'm going to apologize in advance, because it's probably going to be longer than 4 minutes. 2 years ago, my mom, 2 years ago tomorrow, my mom started training for the half marathon, and I hadn't, I wasn't doing it, but I was going to watch, and I was alongside her for most of it, and I rode my bike because that was still really hard. I wasn't even running. But at one point we went to a dinner, and they had really good tacos. But that wasn't the important thing. But there were speakers, and their stories were amazing. Most of them had already gone to Congo and had, you know, ran the marathon, half marathon, multiple times. And their stories were just so inspiring. And I got two things out of that dinner, and that was a lot of guacamole and this feeling in my heart that I had to do that run. So the next year, I made sure to say yes. And I think that was really important for me.
That's awesome. That was totally under
4 minutes.
That was good,
and that was on 4 minutes. So
it was.
Feels good.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about Gabe and some of our students saying yes to being a part of this is, one, that they, you know, Gabe ran with his mom and maybe didn't run with her the whole time on the course itself, but he also, it's kids helping kids. It's this reality that adults are not the only repairers of the breach. Right? Adults are not the only ones who can make a huge difference. Our youngest participant for the 6K was like 6 months old last year. You know, mom was pushing him in a stroller. And that's what it's all about, that this is something that everybody can care about and everybody can make a difference. So thank you, Gabe. Thanks.
All right. Spiel right now or just the why?
So Megan had an opportunity this last fall to travel to the field with World Vision. So not only did she do everything that all of us did leading up to June, but she also was invited to travel to the field. And so my first question for her is going to be, tell us her why. Why does she do this? Why does she care about water and doing crazy things for it? But then I also wanted her to give you just like a little bit of a teaser, because next weekend after church, you'll have an opportunity to hear her whole story, or 25 minutes of her whole story. It's not the whole story of the work that happened when she was in the field. But first your why, and then a brief teaser for us.
So I'm Megan Birch, and my why is very similar to Rod's, and that is 2 years ago when we first started, well, I guess it was 3 years ago, we started partnering with World Vision, but the first time I heard World Vision come in and share what Team World Vision is all about, they shared the statistic that, and it's even higher than what you mentioned, 1,000 children under the age of 5 die every day because they don't have access to clean water. So they die from water-related illnesses. And 1,000 kids a day, I mean, that really breaks my heart. That hit me right here, and I went, what, 1,000 children a day? I mean, that's huge. And when you run with Team World Vision, you have the power to do something about that. You have the power to save lives, and that's worth it. I don't like running, but kids are dying, and when we have the power to change lives and to save lives, it's worth it for me. In Matthew 25:40, it says that God calls us to serve the least of these. And this is a tangible way that we can serve the least of these. We can go into these communities where people don't have the same privileges that we do. So we are so privileged to live where we do and to have the access to clean water and to have, we have so many things that our brothers and sisters around the world do not have access to. And when God blesses you with that, he also calls you to give back to those who do not have those same privileges. And when I run with Team World Vision, it models to my children, I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, it models to them that I can do hard things, that I can bring just and lasting change when God calls me into something and I step into where he's called me. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And I like that I can give that example to my own children. Awesome. The first picture that was up there was Stella. And Stella's a 9-year-old girl, and I had the opportunity to go to Uganda. This was in October. I traveled to Uganda and Kenya with Team World Vision, and we visited an area development project, and then we ended the trip by running the Nairobi Half Marathon with Team World Vision. And Stella took us to her family's closest water source, and her closest water source was dirty. It was shared by 800 families and all the livestock in the area. And one of the things that I learned when I was in that community is that when we talk about clean water and running for clean water, it's so much more than just boreholes and wells. And in my mind, I was thinking clean water, like a well where you pump up clean water and the kids fill up their cup and they can drink it. And that's part of it. But it's so much more than that. It has to do with sanitation. And World Vision has a really detailed, comprehensive program to try to end water-related illnesses. And part of that is a big push in the community where I was the goal of ending open defecation. So a lot of people in this community, they don't have a safe place to go to the bathroom. And so World Vision teaches them about the importance of having a latrine, having a concentrated place where their family can go to the bathroom so that they're not spreading illness. And the families who had installed latrines that we visited were so proud to show us their bathrooms. It was like a huge, huge source of pride for them that they had a private place to go to the bathroom and that they knew they were keeping their family safe by not spreading disease. World Vision also is really big on sanitation and hand washing. And so this is, if you go back to the last slide, this is my friend Susan, and we're just at a family's home. That's their hand washing station. So they have a little jerry can that's hung up, and then there's a bar of soap tied to a rope. So when you come out of the latrine, you can wash your hands. Looks very different than our sinks, but it works. I mean, it does the job. The last picture here on that same slide, that's a water tank outside of a medical clinic. And this is a medical clinic that was just built in this village. And the current medical clinic that's operating there does not have any running water. And that was a really important thing. The community said, we need running water in our medical clinic because our doctors and our medical staff have to be able to wash their hands. And so this water tank collects rainwater from the roof, and then it's piped into all of the sinks in the exam rooms. And so when we talk about running for clean water, it's not just wells. It's latrines, it's hand washing stations, it's water tanks that collect rainwater. I mean, it's the full meal deal. Okay, you can go to the next slide now. The other thing that I want to leave you with, and I would love for you to come next Sunday after church so you can hear stories and see more pictures, but Lindsay wanted me to keep it short today. So the other thing that I just want you to know is that our dollars, when we run and when we invite people to partner financially with us, they're going to real people. And they're going to real people who are so grateful for the work that we're doing. So Stella is up there again on the left. She was in the first picture when I was walking for water. That's her family's closest water source. It's about a 20-minute walk. They also have access to a borehole, but it's 3 kilometers away. So it's 6 kilometers round trip to get to the clean water. So they only go every other day because it's a really long, hot walk. Stella is so grateful. And when our vehicles pulled into her family's compound, they heard the cars coming and they grabbed pots and pans and cans and whatever they could use as an instrument, and they ran out to greet us. They were hollering with joy and singing and dancing, and they led us in a procession. They went in front of our vehicles and they led us in a procession into their family's compound, dancing and singing. When we got out of the cars, they embraced us and they said, "Thank you." And these are real people. You're making a difference in the lives of real people who are experiencing fullness of life because of the work that we're doing. Everywhere I went in the village, people said, "Thank you. Thank you, sponsors. Thank you for loving us." And they said, tell your friends that we love them and we love you and we thank you." Everywhere I went, they wanted me to be sure I told you that. They love you and they thank you. So these are some of the real people who said thank you. This is Barbara. She's one of our family sponsored children, in the middle. And she's 4 years old. On the right is one of Stella's aunts. And I took this out the car window as we were driving in. She'd made this flag that she was waving as she was singing and dancing while we were coming into their home. The lower left, that's Dr. Aaron and the lab technician who works in the current medical clinic. There's currently no running water there. In the middle, this is Elizabeth, and she's the Area Development Project Director. She's an incredible woman. I wish that I could bring her here so you could catch her joy for the work that World Vision is doing, but she had so much gratitude to share. And then on the lower right, it's not a very clear picture when it's up on the screen, but that's Judith, and she's this darling 3-year-old with these huge dimples and one of the cutest kids I've ever seen. But I just want you to know these are real people, and what we're doing with World Vision really matters.
Thank you. That's awesome. I mean, whoa. It's so good. Thank you,
Megan. I get to follow open defecation.
I apologize. Yeah. That was so good. Oh, man. Thank you, Megan, for sharing. And again, I want to invite you guys. We're going to have lunch after church next week to hear more about Megan's experience and how we can all learn from that. One of the things that Drew said last week that I really think is super meaningful is that the shortest distance between two people is a story, and that stories are a gift. They're a gift that we get to share with one another, and I really thank you for sharing even just a little part with us today. It really is. It's like this much. I know, it really is a gift. It's a gift. As a church, we've been partnering really for the last 4 years, but 3 years kind of in an official capacity. And during that time, collectively, we've raised almost $225,000 for clean water and sanitation in Congo. Those are dollars that do connect to real people, which is awesome. Thank you. All right, so Susan is our team captain. She's our team captain. She's our team captain this year, and she's a great team captain because she not only has a good why, she also thinks running is stupid. So she's a good example of that anybody, you know, can do this. So tell us your why and why you're excited to be our captain this year.
Thanks. Anyone can do this. If Susan can do it, anyone can do it. So my name is Susan. I'm not a runner. I grew up playing a lot of sports, but I picked sports specifically that did not have excessive running, right? Home to first to second, right? Those run up to the net, run back. Anyway, I'm not a runner, and as I got to be an adult and I realized I don't get to play sports much anymore, I would do those couch to 5K programs. You know, you're supposed to exercise, right? It would take me 12 weeks to train to run 3 miles, okay? And I hated every part of it. Then this time of year came around and y'all would start wearing your orange jerseys and talking about running 13 miles. I mocked you. I mocked you. Some of you to your face, most of you not. Because I'm not a runner, right? So then my friend says, how about you not just write a check and walk away? How about you get involved? Right? Which is kind of like a challenge, which I take to be a dare, and I am physically incapable of walking away from a dare. And so I signed up. I said, yes, okay, I'll join your team and wear orange. And then honestly hoped I would get injured at some point during the season and not have to do it, because who does this, right? So I showed up for the first training, which I'm here to talk about the team because it's really about the team. You guys heard the why, right? That's really big, but the team is huge. So we showed up for my first training run, which is in the middle of winter, okay? It's still winter, so I'm in my coat. I've got my ear pods because when I run, I have to breathe, and I can't talk to you when I'm breathing, right? So I've got my ear pods. My phone will tell me when I'm done. And they start talking about, you know, how much you need to train and how much you need to stretch and all these great things that you need. But then they started praying for these kids, right? They started praying for the people that we would talk to. They started praying for the people that we had already impacted just that week. How many donations did we get that week, and how many lives were saved, right? That's huge. It makes it a little easier to go out and run, right? So we spent a lot of time running up and down on that trail and talking to each other. Well, some people talked. I don't talk, right? I got to run. And you get to the race day, and you're like, wow, this training plan actually works. It's like a couch to half marathon, right? And you finish your race. You finish. I promise. You will finish, right? And you walk into the World Vision tent, and people hug you. That's kind of a downside. But people hug you. Lots of people hug you. But there's also burritos, right, Gabe? There's burritos, right?
There's burritos.
There's burritos, and they say your name on a microphone, and they say, Susan Gillespie, you just finished your half. You raised this amount of money, and 40 kids. 40 kids, right?
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Lindsay. Anyway, that's a big deal, right? I'm still not a runner. So then my friend Lindsay says, hey, why don't you take it a little further and run a full marathon in Chicago? I almost hate her most of the time. So anyway, I kept running. I'm like, I'm already halfway there. So I kept running, did it right. They come across the end and they say, Susan, your partners raise money for 200 kids, right? 200. Anyway, so now I'm a runner. I run, right? I run. But this team, what they can get you to do and what they can to help you do, and it's not about, you know, the running part and all that kind of stuff, but I've had more conversations with coworkers about running, which is really funny, actually. You know, I would come in on a Friday and I'd be like, oh man, we have to do like 10 miles on Saturday. And so they would hear about it and they would ask me why, and I would talk to them about it. Or I'd hobble in on a Monday and I'd be like, yeah, this is great. But you know, you have these conversations with your neighbors and your coworkers and all these people that want to help, and they want to get involved, and they want to give you money, and it's like they're thriving off your pain, right? Like it's a thing. And so I think that's what I love most about being part of Team World Vision is it will change your life. It will change the people around you. Hey, you know, it's good for you too, right? This exercise thing. But it will also bring you closer to your community and to the people that are in your life, whether they believe in God or not. It will bring you closer to them and give you time to talk. So I'm telling you, if you need me to dare you, if you're the challenge people, I'll do it, right? I will dare all of you to get involved and to participate in this. If you need someone to ask you or hug you, there's lots of other people on the team who will do that too. But I'm telling you, it's an amazing, life-changing experience, and we are changing the world.
We are. Awesome. Thank you. It's so good. So good. All right. With that, I'm going to pray for us, you guys. I'm going to pray as we head out, but I want to point you to the things on your chair, because that's how you are going to sign up today to get more information. Because I'm okay with a passive sure, even if it's not an enthusiastic yes. So please rip off the bottom portion. We'll be collecting it at the doors after communion this morning. And that's how you, the first step of saying yes to being part of this team and seeing how you might be able to join. It takes so many people. We have walls of people for you to look at and see your friends and your community that's participated in this way. And I would love for you guys to get involved too. All right, so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to lead into a time of communion. Father God, thank you so much again for this space, for this time, for these people, for this church. Thank you that we get to gather together to worship you on a Sunday, and that worship really does look like giving you our whole lives, Father. Father, help us to do more for you. Help us to see where you are at work in the world and inviting us to participate, God, and help us to say yes to something today. God, I am so thankful for this team, for the impact that it's had on my own life, and I want that for so many other people, Father. So I pray that you would move us, God, that we would be moved by you this morning. Thank you so much for this time. We offer it to you. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.